the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Giant, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
I just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
How can you go into homes to hunt down and persecute? Isn't that against the law?
So is what the followers of Jesus are doing against the law, the civil and the religious law.
But why persecute them? You don't persecute other religions, even paganism or devil worship. Why are you especially opposed to the believers of Jesus?
You wouldn't understand.
Do you?
These people fight against our God, our temple, and us. They commit blasphemy. And the scriptures definitely condemn blasphemers to death by stoning.
Yes, true blasphemers, after a fair and legal trial.
Are you saying that the trial of Stephen wasn't legal and fair?
Legally, the Roman authorities should approve of all such deaths, should they not?
There wasn't time for that.
Or did some money change hands?
Are you accusing our temple priests and rulers of bribery?
I am saying that they are not hiding as much as they think they are. People aren't as gullible as the temple authorities would wish.
Annas and Caiaphas and the rest of the rulers approve, so why should you mind what I do?
It is none of my affair whatsoever. But you yourself just said that you were secretly convinced that Stephen was honored by God. Now, if he actually was, then you are working against God, not for him. You wouldn't want this. I know you well enough to know you are sincere. Just be sure which side you're on. That's all I ask.
The priesthood was ordained by God to be of the tribe of Levi. What other evidence is needed to know that I am on the right side?
The high priest is appointed by the Roman governor. Is the Roman governor God?
You women argue too much. In the name of the high priest of Israel, open this door.
Yes?
Captain, search the house, quickly.
What have I done?
Are you alone?
Your men are searching. If there's anyone here, they'll find
you. We saw two men enter. Where are they?
Is there a law against having visitors?
Those two men were preachers, preaching heresy and blasphemy. They advocate the destruction of the temple and the overthrow by force of the government of Israel. Where's your husband?
I'm a widow, sir.
There's no one here, sir. We searched the garden. No sign of the two men anywhere.
Oh, where are they? Where are those two preachers? Captain, throw her in prison.
Yeah, I'm starved.
Quiet now, children, while we thank God for his many blessings. God of our fathers, thank thee for these good children, for their mother, for the unity in Christ of this family, for bringing us the message of salvation. Bless this food to the strengthening of our minds and bodies, that we may better serve thee in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give me the meat. I'm starved.
Come on, pass the bread.
Children, let us not forget that we are now followers of Jesus. He loves us, and we want to do as he wants us to, don't we?
Yes, sir. Father.
Well, Jesus wants us to be orderly and courteous. Orderliness and cleanliness are important laws in heaven, here on earth, too.
I'm sorry, Father. I'll be more like Jesus from now on.
So will I.
It can't be thieves. We have nothing to steal.
Captain, have all the doors and windows watched. I understand you are converted to this new religion started by Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes, sir. Saul of Tarsus.
Ah, you know me.
I was at the trial of Stephen.
Then you know what happens to those who refuse to deny Jesus.
Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is my personal savior. I'd rather give up my life than to deny him.
And what about the temple and the priests and rulers of the temple?
They no longer represent God. Jesus himself does. He came to this earth and was sacrificed on the cross. He is the final and supreme sacrifice. The sacrificial ceremonies in the temple, therefore, are no longer needed. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb.
Oh, the worst blasphemy I've ever heard. Captain, take these people directly to the stoning site.
But Saul, the written authority...
I'll go by the palace and have the written authority signed by Caiaphas by the time you're ready to stone these blasphemous people. You realize, don't you, that you are on trial for your life?
Yes, sir.
You are a new member of this faith started by Jesus of Nazareth?
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that his followers claim he is in heaven on the right hand of God, acting as high priest and advocate to all his followers?
Yes, sir.
If this be true, heaven is the place of the high priest, not the temple.
That's true, sir.
The temple, then, is no longer necessary.
Only as a place of worship, sir.
And the sacrificial duties of the high priest, I mean the one here on earth, what about them?
They're useless, sir. They mean nothing.
Then Caiaphas isn't the high priest at all.
No, sir. Jesus is.
I submit, Your Highness, that this woman is guilty of the worst sort of blasphemy and recommend death by stoning.
This court finds the prisoner guilty of blasphemy and sentences her to be stoned until dead.
Well, Saul, are you satisfied?
Satisfied?
You have put a lot of people in prison and caused the death of a lot more.
Of course, I'm satisfied. I'm doing work for God. That's what I was born to do.
Oh, you can't fool me, Saul of Tarsus. You are a very unhappy man.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
You are my friend, you help me see how very much the Father loves me. Thank you, dear Jesus, is all I can say. Jesus, I love you more every day.
Much to give.
But everybody can make a difference when we let God take control. The Bible says that we need to let our light shine before others so God will be glorified.
So if you feel insignificant, don't hide your light. Even if it's small, it'll make a big difference with Jesus.
You feel like you can't. Like a flame glowing in total darkness, God's burning love shines through you. So though you're small in the crowd, hold your candle tall and proud. Remember just a little
61, 62, 63.
What are you doing, Sam?
64, 65. I'm counting my steps. 66, 67, 68.
Why?
Because to be totally healthy, you need to take at least 10,000 steps a day. I'm keeping track. 72, 73, 74.
How many so far today?
4,878, 79.
I'm glad you're trying to be healthy.
You can help me count. My tongue gets tired.
I heard that walking keeps your blood moving, brings fresh oxygen to your brain so you can think better, and makes your bones strong. How are your bones?
Hard as steel.
It's also good for your heart. How's your heart feel?
Tired.
Maybe we should rest.
Good idea.
So why all this sudden interest in health?
Well, my dad said that his doctor told him that if he doesn't exercise more, he could have a heart attack. The doctor told him to start walking 10,000 steps a day, so I told dad if he'd walk, I'd walk.
You're a very supportive son.
I try.
You know, there is an easy way of keeping track of your walking.
There is?
Sure, just walk an hour a day. That's what I read in school. Just walk briskly for 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and then 30 minutes after supper. That way you don't have to count.
Hey, that is easier. Let's try it. Do you have a watch?
No. Don't you?
91, 92, 93.
Maybe we should walk to the store. I think they're having a sale on watches.
96.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
If you're on your way to heaven, clap your hands. If your sins are all forgiven, clap your hands. Point to heaven in the sky, then shake hands with one nearby. If the Lord can satisfy, clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. If you're glad that you're a Christian, clap your hands. If you're on your way to heaven, clap your hands. If your sins are all forgiven, clap your hands. Point to heaven in the sky, then shake hands with one nearby. If the Lord can satisfy, clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. If you're glad that you're a Christian, clap your hands.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story shows you how great it is to have a pet and how sad it can be when a pet disappears. While Jenny and her friend Natalie search for clues about what happened to Butterscotch, Jenny learns some important lessons about forgiveness. Chapter 1. Butterscotch Disappears. Jenny Wallace rolled Butterscotch's beat-up old play mouse in her fingers as a tear slipped down her cheek. She missed her cat. 3 weeks ago, Butterscotch disappeared. She didn't run away. Jenny knew she would never do that. Either someone had stolen her, or she was... Jenny couldn't even think about that. Taking Butterscotch's mouse, Jenny walked over to the window and opened it. A little breeze tugged on her hair. She stared out into the darkness. "Come home, Butterscotch," she called softly. Somewhere out there, Butterscotch was waiting for Jenny to find her. Maybe if she waited just a little longer, Butterscotch would run up the driveway and into her arms. Finally, she gave up and closed the window. Flopping onto her bed, she covered her face with her hands and thought back for the thousandth time. Back to when it all started. Back to the day of Mrs. Shue's announcement. In her mind, it happened all over again. "Hurry, Mom," Jenny urged her mother. She leaned forward as if she could make the car go faster. Mrs. Wallace glanced over at the excited expression on Jenny's face. "Why are you in such a hurry this morning?" she asked with a laugh. Mrs. Shu said that she has a surprise for us today, Jenny explained. Then she saw a twinkle in her mother's eye. Hey, wait a minute. Mom, do you know what Mrs. Shu is going to tell us? Jenny asked. Her mother smiled. It's no secret. At least, it won't be after today. No matter how hard Jenny begged, her mother wouldn't give even the tiniest little hint about this surprise. I don't want to spoil Mrs. Shu's announcement, was all she would say. Well, fine, Jenny said as she gave up. For a second, she sat with her arms folded and tried to look mad, but she was too excited to be that still. She twisted in her seatbelt and stared out the window at a big jet taking off from the airport. I wish I was the pilot of that plane, she thought. I'd turn it around and head straight to the shoebox. I said, do you know your memory verse? Jenny's mom repeated. Jenny? Huh? Jenny jerked as she snapped back to where she really was, in the car. My memory verse? It's, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Matthew 7:12, Jenny repeated quickly. Mrs. Wallace beamed. I'm so proud of you, Jenny. You've learned every memory verse for this entire quarter. Jenny squirmed as a happy flush stole over her face. Every time she learned all her memory verses, she got to choose a reward. Mom! She shrieked. Stop the car! Mrs. Wallace pulled into a parking space. Why? Because we're here. Jenny smiled sweetly before she bolted from the car and into the church. Before she even opened the door to the shoebox, Jenny heard a low buzzing as if there was a swarm of angry bees inside. Her hand felt slippery as she turned the doorknob. The buzz stopped the moment she opened the door and stepped inside. Once everyone saw it was Jenny and not Mrs. Shu, the buzz started again. Jenny stepped quickly over to where her friend Dee Dee was talking to Willie and a stranger. The tall boy had very short hair and a sour frown. He tapped one of his huge, unlaced, high-top sneakers on the floor impatiently. "Where's Mrs. Shu?" Jenny asked in a whisper, although she wasn't really sure why she was whispering in the first place. "She's not here yet," Dee Dee said, as if Jenny couldn't see that for herself. "Jenny, this is..." Dee Dee began. But before she could finish, Mrs. Shu opened the door and stepped inside. She smiled at them as they all found seats and looked up at her, waiting to hear what the surprise was. "I have something to tell you all," Mrs. Shu began breathlessly. Jenny thought she could almost feel the floor tip as everyone leaned forward to hear what Mrs. Shu had to say. "We're going to have a family day here at the church. It will be in the parking lot. There will be a big picnic, some fun games, displays by all the classes, and a pet show." At the words pet show, Jenny gasped. "Dr. Gibbons, the veterinarian, will judge the pet show. A blue ribbon will be awarded to the animal that has had the best care. But the owners will also be judged. The winning pet's owner must be able to answer questions about caring for his or her pet." "Butterscotch is going to win that blue ribbon," Jenny whispered to Dee Dee, not taking her eyes off Mrs. Shu, who wasn't finished yet. "Pastor Hill has also promised to give us a booth to run," Mrs. Shu continued, "but we have to decide what kind of booth. I thought we might want a nature display. What do you all think?" Suggestions came from all over. It seemed like every kid in the shoebox, except for Jenny and the stranger, had an opinion about what their display should be. Jenny was busy planning her speech for the time when she and Butterscotch would win the blue ribbon. She didn't even notice that the stranger was frowning so hard it looked as if his mouth might slide right off his face. "Okay, quiet, everyone," Mrs. Shu held up her hands. "I think the best plan is to have a nature table. Everyone be on the lookout for nature things that we can display." After church, Jenny looked around for Maria, but she found Dee Dee and the stranger. "Jenny, I want you to meet my cousin Tevin Ryan," Dee Dee said. "He and his family will be staying with us for a few days. They're moving into a neighborhood near yours." "Hello," Jenny said, smiling. "I didn't know Dee Dee had a cousin who was our age." "I'm not your age. I'm 10," Tevin said, tipping his nose toward the ceiling. "Oh, will you be going to family day?" Jenny asked politely, studying the bottom of Tevin's chin. Tevin's nose dropped until it was pointing directly at Jenny. "Why would I want to go to your old family day? Where I'm from, we have a big fair, not some poor excuse for fun." "I think this will be fun," Jenny said quietly, wondering to herself why Tevin was determined not to be nice. Her memory verse flashed through her mind. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." "Why are your lips moving?" Tevin asked suddenly, looking at Jenny as if he expected her to break out in purple spots and crow like a rooster next. "Were they?" Jenny's hand flew up to cover her mouth. "I was just remembering something." "Well, you ought to remember it with your mouth closed, or someone might think you're losing your marbles," Tevin advised. "Come on, Dee Dee, let's find your parents and go. I'm starving." Dee Dee shrugged as Tevin grabbed her arm and yanked her along like a rag doll. "Jenny," Maria's little sister Yo-Yo tugged on Jenny's sleeve, "I'll help you look for them." Jenny tore her eyes from Dee Dee and Tevin and looked down at Yo-Yo.
Help me look for what, Yo-Yo? She asked. The marbles that boy said you lost, Yo-Yo said. Jenny smiled. He didn't really mean I had any marbles to lose, Jenny tried to explain. I'll give you some of my marbles, Yo-Yo offered. Luckily for Jenny, Maria walked up. Here you are, Yo-Yo, Maria said. Mom is looking for you. As Yo-Yo skipped away, Maria turned to Jenny. Do you want to come eat dinner with us today? My mom said to invite you and your mother. Not today, Jenny replied. We're going on a picnic and a hike to celebrate. Celebrate what? Maria asked curiously. I won the Memoryverse challenge last night, so Mom told me we could do something I wanted to do today. Well, keep your eyes open for stuff to show on our nature table, Maria said. I can't wait for family day. Me either, Jenny answered. But she wasn't thinking of the nature table. She was thinking about butterscotch and a blue ribbon.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 3, Jenny's Cat-Napped Cat, written by Celeste Perino Walker, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.